Thanks, Peter. Good morning. Shocking statements Jesus made 2,000 years ago, and they're still shocking statements. When you read God's word, do you think, wow, he really said that? What statements would you pick if you had four statements that Jesus made? This next 4 weeks, Peter and I have picked out four different statements that we feel are very shocking. And the first one, Peter read, it's amazing that God said, I never knew you. He said that. Do you think people might hear that? Unfortunately, it's possible. Some of us in this very room might hear that statement. Now, it's my goal today that you don't hear that statement. That's my goal. I'm going to get you to a place so you don't have to hear that statement. But God says, or Jesus said in Matthew there, it says, someday people are going to hear that statement. I never knew you. So here we are, part one. Now, picture yourself at the pearly gates. Heaven, the gates of heaven. Someday, judgment day, you might be standing there and are you going to know the combination to get in? Are you going to know the password? There isn't such a thing. You have to believe and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior to get into heaven. That's the combination. That's the password. That's how you get in. And if you don't do that, and you're standing at the gate and you're looking around like, how do I get in? And you wonder if you're at the right gate even, and you holler, Lord, Lord. And somebody approaches, maybe flying up to the gate. And you think, oh, is that Jesus? And he says, I never knew you. That would be a tough thing to hear at that point, wouldn't it? You don't get a second chance. You get one chance. When you die, you either go to heaven or you go to hell. Lord, Lord, you might call out. Evangelist John Rice explained these words that from Matthew that Peter had read. He said that multitudes of people who expect to go to heaven, to get in those gates, will actually go to hell, a hell of torment. Thousands of good people, moral people, church members, church workers, yes, even pastors and priests, they think they're going to be going into heaven. Not, they're lost. When they expect to be saved, they're going to be lost. Condemned when they expect approval, when they expect the gates to open, they won't, they'll be closed. This is awaiting many people. I never knew you is the title. Let's pray and we'll get into this. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for all your words in Scripture, but thank you for bringing to light the fact that some of us may not get to heaven. I never knew you. Lord, help us to know you. Help us to grab hold of the truth in your word. Help us so that none of us would hear those four words. Open our eyes, Lord. Touch our hearts today. Give us your wisdom and your perspective and your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I never knew you. This fate is awaiting many people. You might think, yeah, but it's not me. I'm a good person. I'm a moral person. I go to church a lot. Maybe every Sunday. Maybe every Easter and Christmas only. That's good enough. I'm going to go to heaven. It's not good enough. Many people sit at home content and satisfied, thinking they're going to heaven. But they're under delusion, deception, a false refuge, believing something that's not in Scripture, believing that if you're good, if you do good deeds, on Judgment Day, you will get in those gates. Now, don't get me wrong. These people are not going to lose their salvation. We're not preaching that you lose your salvation when you get to the gate. You never had it. You're not seeing Christ turn against you like, oh, you weren't good enough. I didn't know you enough. No, he says, I never knew you. Very clear. That person was never saved. They had no relationship, no saving relationship with Jesus Christ. No justification, no mercy for them. Jesus explained to Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. It's a spiritual rebirth. It's a requirement to get to heaven. You know, I mentioned mercy, and I think it's very important that we understand mercy. I like to explain it by first telling what grace is. Who knows what grace is? Receiving something that you don't deserve. That's grace. God pours out grace in our lives. Receiving something you don't deserve. Mercy is not receiving something you deserve, like death and hell. That's something that we would like mercy for. Not to go to hell. Not to have spiritual death and the gates locked to heaven. Two verses explain this clearly, Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23. And the first one talks about all of us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the second one tells us the wages of sin, for the wages of sin is death. So since we're all sinners and we get paid for being a sinner, our wages is death. So we're all headed toward death, unless what? Unless you believe and receive in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Don't rely on a good life or good deeds or anything else that's different than what I've showed you. Scripture says there's only one path, and we'll talk about that more. I never knew you. Never, never, never will you get into the kingdom of heaven if Jesus Christ says to you, I never knew you. There's a parable in Matthew chapter 25 about the 10 virgins. Now, they were going to meet Jesus. They were desiring to get into heaven, apparently. And I wonder, why 10 virgins? Why not 10 vagabonds or 10 criminals? Or 11 Vikings. Okay, some of you caught that. Why 10 virgins? Because we're all sinners and we're all condemned, like we talked about. And light cannot have fellowship with darkness. Have you ever taken a bright floodlight into a darker room and turned it on? It's like, wow, I can see stuff that I couldn't see before. That's amazing. Where does darkness go? It vanishes. Light and darkness cannot fellowship together. And that's how Christ explains it to us. God is holy, and when we're sinners, we're the darkness. We cannot have fellowship with light. But if we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He washes us white as snow. Then He allows us to fellowship with Him. We are allowed into the gates of heaven. Isaiah 1 verse 18. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Clean, cleansed, justified. That's what we can be if we believe and receive. Okay, back to the 10 virgins. Matthew 25 verse 1. The kingdom of heaven will be like the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five of them were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. My lamp is going out." "No," replied the wise ones, "there's not enough for both of us. Instead, go and buy some." And as it turns out, later the others finally came by, they had bought some, and they said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us. Let us in." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you." This parable is similar to what we saw that Peter read. Somebody's calling out, "Lord, Lord." They weren't prepared. They didn't know him. How can you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, reading God's word and hearing about him at church or Sunday school, and prayer and fellowship and memorization of God's word, all these things help us to understand who he is and to get a relationship with Jesus Christ. The last verse says, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." We do not know when Jesus Christ returns, the second coming. But we need to be ready. We need to be wise. Are you building your house on the rock? Are you wise? Or are you building your foundation on sand and thinking good deeds will get you to heaven? Or going to church or praying often or whatever you're doing in life that you think makes you good? That's being foolish. You're building your foundation on sand. There's only one good, strong foundation. It's Jesus Christ. He came to earth. He lived a life sinless, and he died for us so that we could enter the gates of heaven. In 1976, the Stadler Brothers released a song. It was entitled, "Would You Recognize Jesus?" And the chorus says, "Would you recognize Jesus if you met him face to face? Or would you wonder if he's just another one you couldn't place? Would you recognize Jesus? Does he know you today? Can you stand up and say, 'Yes, he knows me personally'? Or are you concerned that he doesn't know you? If he doesn't know you, you should be concerned. This is the most important decision that you'll make in your life." Mary Magdalene, one of Jesus' closest followers, had many personal encounters with him. She anointed his feet with tears and perfume, expensive perfume. She was at many miracles that he performed. And she was even at his crucifixion. And then she visited the tomb of Jesus and realized the body was missing. The stone was rolled away and he was gone. And she was weeping. And Jesus appears. At first she thinks he's the gardener. She doesn't recognize him. Maybe because she figured it's impossible. He's dead. It couldn't be him. But then he speaks to her, and she recognizes his voice. Immediately, when she hears his voice, do you have a close personal relationship with Jesus? Do you recognize his voice when he talks to you? When you're praying and you're waiting to hear from him? Do you have a close enough relationship that you can recognize his voice? Does he know you? Will you be allowed into heaven? If he doesn't know you, hope you won't. There's preachers that see people converted, workers in nursery, Sunday school, in churches across the nation and the world, that are going to call out, "Lord, Lord." And he's going to say, "I never knew you." Men in the Bible that were religious. There's a preacher, a prophet, an apostle, a worker in Jesus' name, a church member. He was religious and he was lost. His name is Judas. He maybe knew that he wasn't going to heaven. He betrayed Jesus. But there's people today that are similar. Church members, religious people, they think they're going to heaven. It doesn't matter how religious we are. We need to be saved. We need to believe and receive in order to get to heaven. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Wonderful verses. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. Not maybe, not possibly. You will be saved. Grab that verse and hold on to it and run with it. That's your assurance that you can get to heaven. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Matthew 7, starting verse 13, says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction." Many people are on this road to destruction. They think they're good. They think they're going into heaven, but they're not. "But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Only a few. Most people are headed down the wide road to destruction. It's startling and sad, but it's true. More people are going to hell than are going to heaven. Few find it. We are all sinners. We can all be cleansed by Jesus dying on the cross by his blood if we grab hold of that. Are you sharing that with your friends and family and neighbors? Or are you keeping it to yourself? It's good that you're going to heaven. It's good that you believe and receive. But are you sharing that with other people? Others that are lost or deceived or deluded, condemned, going to hell. You know, you might hear people say, "Well, there's many roads to heaven. Different religions, different churches, different beliefs." But that's not true. Jesus Christ says there's only one way. There's only one road. We must believe and receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. John 3:16 spells it out well. "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You have to believe. And again in Acts 16:31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." It's pretty plain. There's one road. To prevent you from hearing, "I never knew you." Don't wait. Your life could end today. There's no second chances. "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already." We're condemned until we believe, and receive. John 3:18 says that. So where do you stand? Are you going to be at the gate wondering what the combination is, or the password, or be calling out, "Lord, Lord," only to hear, "I never knew you"? Don't be that person. Grab hold of Jesus Christ today. Understand that he died on the cross for your sins, for my sins, for each one of us. And that we need to believe that fact, to ask Him to be our Lord and Savior, and we're guaranteed eternal life. How many things in life here do you get a guarantee for eternity? You buy a car, I want that eternal guarantee. That'd be nice. I know Roland just got a new pickup. He didn't get an eternal guarantee with that one. He's got to baby that one and take care of it. You can get an eternal guarantee with your life, with your eternity ahead of you. What are you choosing? I'd like you all to close your eyes and pray silently. I'm going to pray a prayer that if you want to ask Jesus into your heart now, just repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I need you as a Savior. Thank you for sending Jesus to live a sinless life and to die on the cross for me. I believe and receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior right now. Thank you for eternal life in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Please keep your eyes closed. If you prayed that prayer just now for the first time, please look up at me. The angels are rejoicing in heaven right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus. I thank you for eternal life. Lord, don't let anybody hear. I never knew you. Lord, give us wisdom to choose you. Give us humbleness and a desire to choose you, that each person here would choose you to be their Lord and Savior. As the music team comes up, I would just like to say that you can open your eyes. Today we're having communion after a visit, and if you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to stay and have communion with us. And it's an important thing, and we desire to protect communion. It's only for those who have made that choice to believe and receive. And so you're welcome to join us probably at about 11:20. We'll have communion. Thank you, and God bless you. Amen.